God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. There's a man and a woman who have 12 children. And every Sunday, this man and woman and their 12 children go to church, and they sit in the first two front pews. Clearly not Episcopalians. And they're sitting there every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday. One Sunday they're there, and the priest says, he's starting to give the sermon, he says, "Well, what is faith?" And the woman clears her throat. Ahem! And it kind of throws the priest off a little bit. So he gets his composure back and he says, "What is faith?" And she clears her throat even louder. Ahem! And she raises her hand. Well, the priest says, all right, fine. You tell me then, what is faith? So the woman stands up and she says, "Do you see these 12 children? Now I know for a fact all of these children are mine. But for my husband, that is an act of faith." Well, faith is something that we talk a lot about. It's something that we seem to base everything on. It comes up Sunday after Sunday. It's all over the Bible. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Today's readings are included in talking about faith. We heard the reading from Habakkuk, which, by the way, at both services, someone had asked me how to pronounce that word. The last line of the reading from Habakkuk says, "The righteous live by their faith." And in 2 Timothy, St. Paul commends Timothy by telling him, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you." Like, faith is just all over the Bible. I mean, it's everywhere. And it is incredibly important. We know it's important. We hear about it. We talk about it. And with all this talk about faith, it should seem reasonable to ask God to give us more faith. And in our gospel today, in Luke, that's exactly what the apostles do. They say, "Lord, increase our faith." And Jesus basically tells them no. Or at least he really gives them a non-answer. Now, why would Jesus deny such a request? It seems pretty legitimate. It seems reasonable to ask. But we get a little bit of hint of this from the parable Jesus tells right after. He said, "Now, which of you, if you had a slave who just came in from the field, would invite him to dinner?" Now, I want to just give you a 21st century forewarning here and just say, let's not get too hung up on this. Because it'd be very easy for us in our minds today to hear this parable and say, boy, that's an awful way to treat a human being. And yes, it is a terrible way to treat a person. But we have to also understand that in Jesus' time and in the ancient world, slavery was normal. Today we look at it as wrong, but in his time it was completely normal. And by giving this example, he was giving an example of something that everybody would have understood. So we shouldn't get too hung up on that. Basically, what Jesus is saying is a servant does what a servant does because it's his duty. The servant doesn't rely on the master's encouragement. Now, yes, it doesn't say this in the parable, but it is true that the master does, in fact, give the servant everything the servant needs. You need to cook dinner? We'll provide for the food to do it. You want to clean? We'll provide the equipment. Yes, those things are provided, But the servant is still expected to do the work. Now maybe, just maybe, that is the key to faith. We're encouraged to pray for a lot of things. And we do. We can pray for a lot of things. We can pray for strength. We can pray for courage. We can pray for wisdom. But faith is something we have to take care of for ourselves. It's our end of the bargain. It's our duty as servants of God. Now that might seem a bit burdensome. It might seem even a little scary. Well, what do I do? If Jesus isn't going to increase my faith, I'm the one who's got to keep it. But the good news about faith is that a little goes a long way. Jesus' actual reply was, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now again, I have to give a little bit of a caveat here. Don't read too much into this line. Nobody, no matter how much their faith, has ever been able to say to a mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. It has never happened, and it never will. Jesus does this a lot. He'll say something that is a bit out there. He exaggerates to make a point. And this is exactly what he is doing. This does not mean, I mean, if we read this literally, we would assume that nobody has had faith the size of a mustard seed. But in fact, a lot of people have had incredible amounts of faith, have done things that have required just extraordinary faith. What Jesus is doing here is he is making a point with this statement. And the point is that we do not need enormous amounts of faith. Just a little bit can do great things. Even if Jesus could increase our faith, it would not be necessary. We already have it in us. It's not for lacking. It's for lack of using. So why then, when I think about my own faith, why is it that I feel like my faith is weak some of the time? I mean, I have to admit, sometimes I have enormous doubts about things. Some things I am really skeptical about. And other things I'm just downright cynical about. Don't get me started. And perhaps when we look at faith, when we look at this and we think, why is my faith weak? Why am I skeptical, or why am I even cynical? Perhaps when we look at faith, we are looking at its opposite in the wrong way. Because we often think that the opposite of faith is doubt. Doubt, however, is a facet of faith. Looking critically at the world around us and asking tough questions is something that people of faith have been doing ever since there have been people of faith. It is when we are able to question things and walk with Jesus through these questions, our faith strengthens. You know, just because you believe in dinosaurs that lived millions of years ago does not mean that you lack faith. It just means that you understand that God is bigger than we previously suspected. It is okay to have doubts. It is okay to question. It is okay to think of the world bigger than we thought of it. That is all part of strengthening our faith. So the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is fear. Doubt does not undercut our faith, it can strengthen it. Fear, however, destroys faith. You think about the Passion narrative, Jesus' last days. The apostles did not abandon Jesus because they thought maybe he is or maybe he isn't the Messiah. It had nothing to do with doubt. The apostles abandoned Jesus because they were afraid. Fear crumbles the very foundations of faith. It tears us away from God. It turns human beings against one another, and it unravels the very fabric of the body of Christ. We should never be concerned about our doubts. Those are normal parts of being human. But when we fear, it is in those times that we must lean even more heavily on God. We must put more of our trust in God. God has given us many tools to serve, but faith is our part. With just a little bit of faith, there's so much that we can do. So let us use that faith. Let us overcome the fear that separates us from God. Let us walk with Christ in our worst and most lost times. That is what it means to have faith. It is to question things and to work them out in prayer, even when we know we won't hear a voice back. It is to put our whole trust in God, even though we do not see God physically. And it is to know God's presence fully, even in the midst of great doubt. So let us have faith the size of a mustard seed. It's not much, but it can do amazing things. Amen.